Parshas Bishalach starts off, Ahi Bishalach Pare Esha'om, Pare sent away the nation. What does that mean, Pare sent away the nation? It would seem that the story of Mitzrayim, that they just pretty much left on their own. It was open gates, and they left. So the Midrash in Tehillim actually makes this diuk. It says, Ahi Bishalach Pare Esha'om, and it says that Moshe told Pare, we are not going until you tell us go. And then, like we know, that's actually what happened at the end of the last week's parasha, that Pari just said, get out of here. And why do we need that? So Mishnah Melech wants to explain that there's a Gemara in Kedushin, Tezayinam Beis, that says that Hanaka, the din that an Eved gets presents when we send him away, is only if he gets sent, but not if he runs away. So therefore, one of the many pshatim in last week of how did Bnei Yisrael take the Mitzrayim's things, what exactly is going on over there? One of the pshatim was, well, anyways, they owed it to them for sending away the avadim and the din of Hanukkah. So therefore, that would definitely work with this pshat in that we wanted Pari to send this away. Not only that, he sends them away with soin and bakar and different things, and money would not be Hanukkah. Money would just be schar. Now, good, there are pshatim about that part of last week's stuff might have been schar as well, but definitely we know there were a lot of materialistic things that they took. Like Moshe said to Pari, we're going to even take your things. So therefore, this definitely could fit with the Hanukkah aspect. There happens to be a famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that says on this Mishnah Melech and many other types of things in the Torah where people mix in storylines with halacha. He says, you know, just like no one would have a halacha and say, let's mix in a story and try to bring out a point from there. So too, let's not mix in the halacha into the story. Lamaisa, different ways to go about that. We know the Brisker Rav definitely runs a lot of the Torah based on the dinim. Okay, fine. Very nice. Lamaisa, you have to know that this Mishnah Melech really is a Sifri that in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim rather, talking about the Hanukkah, it actually brings us down. That it says the Bizam Yitzias Mitzrayim was Hanukkah, and therefore it should have to work with those dinim. So it's very nice for Chaim Shmulevitz to say that it shouldn't normally go like that, but you have a Sifri, the Medrash, saying that. So a little hard to understand that. Okay, why did Bnei Yisrael go to the Midbar? Why'd they go? So the Pasuk says, "Vayibshach paris onvlei nochem lekim derech esplishtim ki karevu ki amar lekim peni nochem am brayso mechama b'shavu mitzrayim." That's why they went to the Midbar. Seemingly, they went to the Midbar because they get scared of the war. Maybe they'll see the bones of Ephraim, the nice pshatim. Okay, very nice. Lamaisa, definitely this is apeshat. But there are quite a few other pshatim in the Medrash, which are very hard to understand with this. One of the pshatim that the Medrash says is that Hagav Atzmacha, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to take the man of Mitzrayim, Tavdun Esalikim Al Hahar Hazeh, you are going to serve Hashem on this mountain. And we know that that's the Karbanos, the Matan Torah. And so, what's going to happen? So you think, well, why can't we just give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Medrash, Hayitachin, you go to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, why couldn't they go to Eretz Yisrael and then give the Torah in the Midbar? He says, are you going to say that? Everyone's going to go. Be ishtachas gafnai, ishtachas te'enai. Everyone's going to be, all right, good, we're wealthy, we got our houses, we got our cars. Now let's go get the Torah. Now we have some time for Torah. Doesn't go like that. The Torah will not go into someone unless he puts himself like a shmama, like a midbar, like he has nothing except the Torah, which is actually what they ended up doing. So that is one reason why they had to go straight to get the Torah. Another reason that they could not go straight to Eretz Yisrael, says the Medrash, Moshel, Lamal Dar Vadoima, to a king that has 12 sons and only 10 portions. He didn't know what to do. So he thought, let me wait until I end up with an extra 2 portions, and then I'll be able to have for everybody, and then I can give. Kach, Hashem, was Mesaviv Klal Yisrael, took them around, circumvented them around in the Midbar, till eventually they come to Eivar HaYarden, and there they end up with the 2 extra portions for Reuven and Gad. And now, Baruch Hashem, I can work it out that I have enough for everybody. Once again, these pshatim don't really seem to stem with the Etzem Lashon HaPasuk. Reb Shalom Shechter's son, Yitzchak Shechter, wanted to suggest, perhaps, that the Pasuk could be read as splitting it up that the Iker reason is that we got to go to Tavnas al Kimah Harazeh and we got to go to Har Sinai first. There's a separate aspect of happens to be Peni Nachim Am Berosim Ucham Moshav Mitzrayma that perhaps they will also become weak from the seeing of the war and fear, and therefore they will turn back. So it's like almost another reason. Why so the pasuk says Ki Amar Alekim? So you have to know. But okay, much what we were saying before of the having the gashmius and then running back, trying to get the Torah. The Chafetz Chaim said that kikarivu, that really what was the suffix over here? Should they run after gishmak gashmius, go straight into Eretz Yisrael, or have ruchnis in the midbar? That's what the Irma Sopik. And Avada says, the Chafetz Chaim, the best choice is to take the Ruchnius and go into the Midbar. One always has to know how to weigh, if they're going towards a Parnassa, is it a Parnassa lacking Torah? Are there things wrong with the job? Are there Shailas in Halacha, whether it's Chesha Mishpat, whether it's Eben Ezer, whether it's daily Arachayim? One has to know going into something seemingly that, okay, what do you mean? There's a Torah Dikah thing. Well, perhaps this is just the Gashmius, and really the Torah is on the other side saying, don't take this, and Avad, it's always more Gishmak and better to end up with the Torah way. It was Maisa with Chavetz Chaim that there was a Chassan that is 20 years old that he said, I got from my father-in-law 4 years support, even if I don't do anything. Chavetz Chaim said to him, what's going to be afterwards? So he said, oh, afterwards? Hashem will help. Chavetz Chaim said to him, and what about the first few years? Hashem is not going to be helping. Maybe you'll put money aside, but maybe it's not going to help anything. And therefore, in other words, there needs to be Ruchnius and Hashem helping really in everything. It's all Hashem. Just say a similar vart now that comes from later, that the Ramban says that Hashem purposely made a wind by Kriyas Yamsuf in order to put up a test for those who might say, oh, it was the wind, it wasn't really Hashem. He put that stumbling block in the way so that the Mitzrayim wouldn't run after and think that's something natural, and therefore there wouldn't be anything to fear. Meir Soloveitchik said that, yeah, you have this all the time, this type of thing. You know, by a shidduch, people say, oh, it was Bashert that I bumped into him, and then this worked and this worked, and then really Hashem closed it off. But like the whole way they think like the shluchim were something, that's the same thing as saying that, oh, Hashem caused the wind for Kriyas Yamsuf, and then that's how the Yam split. The wind had nothing to do with it. Hashem did Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem made a wind puk. There's some sort of distraction or whatever, but Hashem was Kriyas Yamsuf. So too, Rameir Salvech was saying by a shidduch that the whole thing was Hashem. The fact that he spoke to this person, the whole thing was Hashem. That's similar to what the Chavetz Chaim is saying over here. Says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Yisrael, three pshatim in Rashi. One of them is ein chamushim elo mizuyonim, that they were set for war. Ask some sefer, Pasha Dakasha. So why don't they fight Mitzrayim? Why do you need such a big nace of Kriyas Yamsuf? Nice Shiloh. Not only that, Lamaisa, according to one sheet of the Mishcha Shemen, he makes a cheshbon that there were 9 million Mitzrayim. Now, true, there were 9 million Mitzrayim, but if we make the cheshbon, and especially we think about the cheshbonis of Klal Yisrael, whether it was 1/5, whether 1/50th, 1/500th, 1/5000th, whatever it was, the Mitzrayim L'chaira, even though so many people, how do they all of a sudden disappear? Maybe Goyishan was separate enough in a way, but Mitzrayim apparently did not realize that so many Yidden were gone. So as far as the Yidden were concerned, the Mitzrayim are coming with 9 million is laughable compared to what the Yidden should have. In other words, the Mitzrayim maybe are coming with like some feeble attempt to try to stop it, but knowing that they can't. Happens to be the Yidden did not have that many, but the Mitzrayim wouldn't have known that. Basically, the point of the question is, once again, why couldn't they fight? Wouldn't that be an easier nace than the Kriyas Yamsuf? So they want to answer, Chassam Sefer and Chassam Sefer, I believe, want to answer. Mamaisa, it is not covered for someone, be a daim, to kill their hosts. Who do we need more than the Torah and Parshas Kisetze to say the fact that Mitzrayim hosted you, do not oppress them. Lo tsa'ev Mitzri, Yerei Yisav Artzai. So therefore, to certainly kill them with our own hands, that is so against what should be, that Hashem Memela was making a Nesel Kriyas Yamsuf. There is a little bit of a controversial Ibn Ezra that does say, it makes sense in our eyes, but I've heard that it's a little bit of a controversial Ibn Ezra. In Yud Daled Yud Gimel, he says that since in their mentality they were Avadim. Right? 210 years, especially the people who grew into it, they were Avadim, like we mentioned a little bit last week. And therefore, they could not fight their masters. Therefore, from 20 to 60, says the Ibn Ezra, could not make it into Eretz Yisrael. To go into Eretz Yisrael and fight wars, they can't do it. Their mentality is that they are subservient people that will subjugate themselves to other people. They won't be able to fight them. The Ibn Ezra's lashon is that something like Baruch Hashem, that Hashem was misaviv b'tachbuloisav, that these people ended up dying. Of course, it doesn't mean that they had to do the egel. But in other words, whatever it means, Yediyah Bechira, however the Rambam works it out, that's basically what the Ibn Ezra means over here. That Baruch Hashem worked it out, that it ended up happening anyways, that they didn't go in. So not only that, he says that that's why Moshe had to grow up in Pharaoh's house. He grew up in a free mentality of not being subservient as a slave mentality.
Wouldn't that be problematic, though, because some of the people who left Mitzrayim, who were like on the border, like maybe just 59 and a half, and then they turned 60, so they weren't part of the decree to get killed off. They still entered Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael, but they had the slave mentality.
Interesting. What do you do with those people in that year? I hear. Nice question. The Meravuchim happens to ask that why can Hashem just change their teva and let them fight? So he says that to change a teva of Adam, Hashem won't do. You need to change your own teva. There's a whole shmuz from Rabbi Ruchem about this. He doesn't bring this raya, but he's going by Yaakov and Esav, that literally, I think Rabbi Saul Salanter's language is that it's harder to change a midah than finish shas. It is extremely hard for someone to change a midah, and Hashem purposely makes it like that. Some of them say, how do you get yourself to change or someone else to change? Tefillah, Torah is able to do that, and the like. But therefore, that definitely works with what the Maravukum is saying here, that Hashem did not create the Bria like that, that it is so easy to just change Teva, and therefore that which the Bnei Yisrael were under such a mentality, Hashem was not going to go change it. A very, very interesting Targum Yonason ben Uziel says as follows. Pasuk Gimel in Perek Yedalad. V'omar Pare Livnei Yisrael. Pare says, blank Bnei Yisrael. Nivuchim Heim Ba'aretz. They are confused. Sagar Lam Amidbar, the Midbar has surrounded them. What's the Livnei Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael? Who's to Bnei Yisrael? Rashi wonders. Bnei Yisrael's not around, they're out. Says Rashi, you're right. Livnei Yisrael, Al Bnei Yisrael means about them. He probably said to his advisors or whatever. Says the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. V'yemar Paroi Le Dasan Vila Aviram. Paroi said to Dasan and Aviram, ouch. Dasan and Aviram are still in Mitzrayim. What is going on here? Why didn't they die in Makas Cheshach if they stayed? I mean, probably if they stayed, they didn't want to go out. So why didn't they die in Makas Cheshach? I have written here that the Rush Alatar asked this. I looked over here and in Paris Karach. I couldn't find it right now, the Rush asking this. But whoever asked it answered that the only people who died were the people who gave up hope from being redeemed. Dasan and Aviram, he says, did not give up hope from being redeemed. They didn't believe that Moshe was the Goyal. They did not believe that Moshe was the Redeemer. Now, could be like we were mentioning last week because he didn't go through the Shibud, we were mentioning last week, that Gufa, someone who's in a Tzara, has to come from the Shibud Alein. We explained already then the reason why Hashem didn't want to do that, because there were Shilas on them, if they were even Kosher or not, on all the Yidden, like it says in Parshas Pinchas. Whatever it is, maybe this was shot in them. Reb Shalom Shachter has a whole shmuz that through the whole Torah with Dasan Aviram, he really goes with this. He says that, you see, they were always against Moshe. But they were the Shaitzer B'nai Yisrael. They were zeichet to be from the people who ended up with Nevuah because they were such big tzaddikim. We think like Das Navir were people on motorcycle jackets. You know, like Esav, the Rosh Hashanah says the same thing over there. We think he was in a motorcycle jacket and he was who knows what. No, they were Choshuva people. Now, obviously, Esav going to do the five Averis, Das Navir being Kaifer in Moshe, that's a fundamental problem of something that's missing. Agreed 100%, but just we should change our perception perhaps of what we think of them, that it wasn't Stam people on skateboards ended up trying to challenge Kairach and whatever, and how Hashem let them live for so long maybe or whatever, and they were chashuva people. So Marl Diskin says very nicely, well, then how did they end up in the rest of the Midbar if they really stayed in Mitzrayim? And not only that, right, with the whole darkness in between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim and the fire and everything, how'd they get through? So he says, Lamaisa, they were Chayzer B'tshuva, and that's why they were able to go back through and get back to Klal Yisrael.
They were Chayzer B'tshuva, and then afterwards they went to Kairach.
So you have to know, yeah, you have to know what it means. I'm like, yep. It's a nice question of how exactly did that work? How is it enough in order to, Okay. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Dal B'chizakti Yisleif Parei, I will strengthen Parei's heart, V'radav Acharei, V'kav Dab Fire, I will become glorified through Parei, V'chol Chel, V'yod Mitzrayim, K'en Hashem, V'yasu Chein. V'yasu Chein means B'nai Yisrael, L'hagid Shvachon, Sheshom L'kol Maisha, they listened to Maisha. And they didn't say, how are we going to go there? What are we going to do? Rather, they said, let's go, let's listen to Maisha Rabbeinu. So, L'maisa, what's the Shvach? Maisha Rabbeinu is telling you, Hashem's telling you, probably the Anan went there already, like it seems like they had one already. So what's going on? As they sfrak the Sfasemis. The Goyin and Adaris Elio says that only in the Nevi'im, probably not the whole Midbar, maybe right now, were able to see the Anan, not the rest of an Israel. And therefore, it's a Shvach that the rest of an Israel listened to. Sfasemis himself says the Anan didn't go there. I don't know if it continued forward necessarily, but Akumav, the Anan didn't move. So there was a Shvach of Bnei Yisrael to listen to Maisha and say, all right, we're going and we're just going to believe you. And that's really, I guess, Lashon Rashi of Einlon Ol Divrei Ben Amram. I'm like, listen, this is the person, we're going to trust him. And for that trust, they were Nishbach by the Pasuk. Okay, we said before about who Pari spoke to. Now, who spoke to Pari? Who? So Rashi says, Ikturn Shalchimim. Right? He sent messengers with them. Once it got 3 days, they saw they weren't going, then they got back, and then you end up with the Shira. Very nice. Lamaisa, the Baal Turim, in the beginning of Pari's Kisavai, says, Amalek is the one who told Pari. Because the deal is that Esav goes out of Eretz Yisrael because he didn't fulfill the Shibud. So he at least wanted his time, says the Baal Turim. He at least wanted his time from the 210 to the 400 to the 430, depending on a few gematrias that they want to throw in over there, about how to work it out, what he was munning. Barach might be a gematria. Cherev might be a gematria, like we say later on, the Shira Timlei Menafshi, to fill up the 430. Different gematrias, but Kaponim, that's what Amalek was trying to tie. Now, Amalek is always there in the way, whether it was himself, whether it was an anicle of Amalek, don't know, but Kaponim, that's Amalek for you. Always there to make trouble. Now, why is Amalek always the one making trouble? Why is this his job? Why is this his job? And why is there really, like we say at the end of the parasha, there's a mitzvah to destroy him? Why so bad? What'd he do? What'd he do already? Esav's anicle, very nice. Who cares? What's so bad? What's so bad? So, I believe there's a medrash that says that Avram Timna wanted to be Megayer. Avram didn't accept her. So to Yitzchak, Yaakov, no one accepted her. Therefore, she said, I at least want to be some part of something. No one's letting me. At least let me be a Pelegish to Esav. At least let me be a Pelegish to Esav. Good, that's what she did. But this hatred in her from how she was turned away and not accepted into what was then the Klal Yisrael, created such a sin in her that Memela, she wrote in her Tzava'a to Amalek to do bad to the Yidden.
Can people explain why she was turned away from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov?
I don't know if I've ever seen what's going on. I think this is a medrash, so I'm sure there's someone who brings down the medrash or whatever. Explain it. I don't remember if the medrash says or whatever, but a component, I think it's trying to bring out that, you know, we got to look at what happened, what was caused by it. Right? I think it says that because Yaakov made Esau cry, that's why the Yidden ended up crying later in Shushan. From Haman. So everything's cheshbon in such a high level with the Eibishter. So therefore, whatever the cheshbon was, Avraham Yitzchak, Lamaise caused that Timna felt bad about it, and therefore look what was given over. Okay, let's try to move on a little bit. I think this is a nice shtickle. Says that you have Kriyas Yamsuf. The water is ready to start crashing down. And it says in Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayet Meshes Yodei Al Yom, Vayoshev Hayom Lifnei Spoiker Leisanoi, when Mitzrayim Nosim, the Mitzrayim were running Likrasai to greet it. Usually Nosim is run away from something, Likrasai is to greet something. So which way was it? What's going on? How did these two Lashonos stem? So Rav Shlomo Shechter wanted to say that there's a Taisus in Erechin which brings down the famous Shita that most people know about. You look at the picture, you see it, of the semicircle. The Kriyas Yamsuf was not the normal straight across. It was actually a semicircle. Okay, fine. Another Shita about Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a Machlekes in the Medrash. Another completely separate Machlekes, seemingly. That it says that all the Mitzrayim went after Bnei Yisrael. Once Bnei Yisrael was out, that's when the water started crashing on the Mitzrayim. Or a similar thing, maybe that while Klal Yisrael was still in the Yam, but they were almost out, the water started crashing on the Mitzrayim, and not on the Yidden, either Ben Ezra or Ramban, maybe that was part of the Nes. Fine. But Kapana, the point is that Mitzrayim got shoved away, and Klal Yisrael was on their way already out. There's another Manda Amar, it's Machlekes Riach and Rish Lakish. I don't remember who says what, but there's another Manda Amar that says that no, the water came all around them and was crashing around the Mitzrayim all around, and Hashem had to make an ace and lift Bnei Yisrael out. Lift them out and save them. It's another Manda Amar. So Rav Shlomo Shechter wanted to put these two things together and Bitoilam Zeh Bazeh. He wanted to say that the regular way of Kriyas Yamsuf, that Kriyas Yamsuf was straight, that would stem with the first Mandarim in the Medrash. Kriyas Yamsuf is straight, great, that could fit with that Mitzrayim are being crushed and, you know, with the water, and then you have this, the Klal Yisrael is on their way out on their own. We said, let's see if we can connect the second thing, that there's a semicircle for Kriyas Yamsuf, coupled with the other Mandarim who says that the water went all around. This would fit very nicely. Parai is looking that, okay, there are two openings. There are two openings. Pare says, if we want to run one end of the semicircle, Klal Yisrael is going to manage to get out the other while we're going inside. So let's run through both. We'll capture them in the middle. Let's run through both ends of the semicircle. They run in. The water starts crashing on either side of them. That makes a kiyum of the words of this pasuk of Nasim Lekrasai, because they're running towards it. They're also running away from it, the water that's crashing from behind them. And now you have the semicircle, you have the pasuk, and you have that. If the water's crashing all over, where does Klal Yisrael go out? Hashem had to lift them out and make this nes. So they wanted to put these midrashim together. Okay, let's go into the mun a little bit. Where Klal Yisrael mikayim tzedakah in the midbar. So both the Satmar Rebbe and the Chafetz Chaim wanted to say that yes, I ate the mun. Chafetz Chaim said that there was no kiyum of tzedakah seemingly because everyone had money, right? So where's the tzedakah? Right, exactly. So seemingly there's no, and not only that, their clothes didn't get ruined, their shoes didn't get ruined, their food was there, exactly, they didn't have to do anything. So where's tzedakah? How were they mekayim the mitzvah tzedakah? So Chafetz Chaim wanted to say that yes, the Ashirim would tell the Aniyim the taste of good delicacies to think about for the mun, and then the mun would taste like those things.
Wait a minute. Who would be Aniyim?
Well, Hagufa, that's the question. Oh. You know, we're saying that whoever were, you know, some people might have ended up with more money, some people might have ended up less money. We do see that in Mitzrayim, some people had things. Some people had some more than others in Mitzrayim itself. So therefore, there's no kiyum of tzedakah giving actual, but they gave over of the idea. I'm going to share this idea with you. I'm going to share that the taste of steak. I'll explain to you how whatever that means exactly to explain the taste of steak. But
what did money do to them? What was good about money if everybody had?
So Hagufa, it's not necessarily even the part of money. Maybe like we're saying that no one needed money.
Yeah, right. They given the mitzvah of Meister Ani and Tzedakah, those things they were given the mitzvahs in the Midbar.
Bashtos by Sinai, Lachar, they got everything good. You can't so be the kind
they,
that.
How do they give Meister Ani in the Midbar?
Samazo, you want to know how they give any of the Trumas Meister? Trumas and Meister is good. They're not in Eretz Yisrael, but Lachar, the mitzvahs that are not Tzulis Ba'aretz, it would be nice to say that they. So the Chavetz Chaim is trying to say that, yeah, there was such a Muslim. That could be called Tzedakah. The Satmar Rebbe wanted to say that all the tzaddikim, we know that the tzaddikim got their portion on their doorstep. The Beinanim got a little further out. The Rishayim got it very far out. So the tzaddikim would eat theirs, and then they would go collect the Rishayim's portions and put them on their doorstep. That was the tzedakah. This fits with something that Marashiva says, I don't remember who he says it over, state in Parshas Ekev, Vayancha Vayarivech Vayachilcho Saman, that you starved and Hashem fed you the man. What does that mean? You starved? I remember who he said from. He wanted to say that if you were a tzaddik and you every day got your mun by your door, and then you did a little bit of an avera, next morning your mun's not by your door. You know what? You're not going out to search for your mun. Like, tzaddikal's here. No, you're out with us in the fields. How you doing? Be very embarrassing for him. Be very embarrassing for him. So therefore, he wouldn't go out and he would starve. And he wouldn't have mun that day. This would fit with at least the Satmar Rebbe, that the Satmar Rebbe is saying that they would really go get their mun for them and be able to hand it to them. Grad is a little bit of a shayla. How did the tzaddikim beinim rishon? How did they know who's whose? Fine, tzaddikim is on their doorstep, but how did beinim rishon? Maybe this is mine. Yours is out in the field. Don't tell me the mine's out in the field. So there's really midrashim and rashis later in Devarim that when speaking about the mun, that the goyim couldn't touch the mun. It's like some protection on it. So perhaps there was some protection also that if it wasn't your mun, unless maybe the Satmar Rebbe's thing of helping you out, but if you're trying to take it for yourself, then maybe you wouldn't be able to take it. I think Barley might say such a side also to answer, and therefore that's how they would know whose is whose. Okay, let's just maybe end off with a interesting thing. What bracha did they make on the mun? What bracha did they make on the man? So, as far as bracha achreina, it's takamachlekes. The many mefarshim hold that they benched. It's all shaila. How they bench? L'chayr only Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin. Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin only the first bracha. You have to know exactly what they were saying, but
did they describe the material?
That's exactly that how much are they eating already of it, right? They ate a little bit, that was it, they were full. Is it even an achila, right? Exactly, that definitely goes into many of the shas. Anyways, so there are some who say the Ben Ishchai says that hamamter lechem in hashamayim. Sefer Chassidim says hanoisin lechem hashamayim. The Ramami Panu says hamoitzi lechem in hashamayim. Others, the Sefer Chemdas Yisrael says, according to Sipurnai, that says that, right, we have in by the mun, it says that the Yatzom and Matzom, and they didn't find mun on Shabbos. What would have been the Isser? What would have been so bad about getting the mun on Shabbos? Sipurnai says, Nir Leimar, that it was somehow, it was connected to the ground in a way that it would have been an Isser Toilish, that you're being Iker Dover Megiduloi, because the mun got Yanika from the ground.
The gathering, they gather
the mun. The problem with gathering the mun on Shabbos, says the Sipurnai, would be that you're taking it away from its place of growing nutrients. So therefore, even in other words, even though it came from Shemayim, but still he's saying that some help from God. So therefore, lefi that, the bracha would be Bayre Pri Adama. The Dovid Misharim says that Lamaisa they made on Moitzi Lechem and Aretz. The B'nai Yisuschar says that on the weekdays they would not make a bracha aman, but on Shabbos Kodesh, that the Achila is like Achilas Kodshim. They made a bracha. Asher, Kiddushonu, Mitzvaysav, Vitzivonu, Le'echol, Sudas, Shabbos. A guten Shabbos.